Well, praise the Lord. It sure is good to see everybody. I hope that I'm going to get to do some listening this convention, but it does feel like, you know, something's come back to me. You know, I ministered Sunday from the book of Ephesians, and I made the comment that I wasn't sure, as I had been thinking about the subject that we talked about, whether that was for that Sunday or whether it was for the convention. Well, it seems like it may turn out to be for both, because my mind went right back to the same scripture, but with a slightly different emphasis, and one that it's come back to me not just in terms of, well, this is something to minister, but this is something I need, something the Lord has just talked to me about and helped me to see things in a different light. And I feel like we all need some keys to be able to grow. We all know that the Lord has called us to His kingdom. He's called us to grow. He's called us to grow up to be His children, and thereby to make us ready to be with Him forever. He's promised to do His part. And of course, we know we have a part to play, and that's what we need to learn and grow like little children. I think some of us are probably getting ready to get out of our diapers, I hope. But anyway, I'll repeat a little bit because I think it's necessary to get to where I want to get to. But I made the point that Paul in his writings followed a pattern, didn't he? He always began with the greatness of what God had done. Folks, we need to always come back to that central truth that Christ paid it all, that God has set something in motion that He did. He has made promises and plans and expressed purposes that no devil in hell can stop. And that is always got to be the center and the foundation. The part that we play has to rest upon something. It cannot rest upon any virtue that I have, any ability that I have, because I don't have any. We come as lost, helpless sinners, deserving nothing, but getting mercy because of God's love and His character. Thank God for who He is and what He's done. And there's so much. I mean, you could spend all the whole service and not even get through that first part of Ephesians, but I mean, He tells us that He's blessed us in every spiritual blessing in Christ. He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. That's what He created for us. Are we there yet? Well, He's purposed that He's going to bring us there. See, that's got to be my foundation. Every time I look at what's wrong with me, I'm getting my eyes in the wrong place. Because God has made promises, has expressed purposes that He means to happen in my life in spite of all that I am and all that I am not. And that's the thing that I want to get this in a deeper way in my own life. I feel my need of this. Anybody here? We know we ask God, oh God, take us to higher ground, take us to deeper places. And we don't seem to make a whole lot of progress sometimes. And I believe God wants us to get how do we get to from all that He's done to what He has promised us and how He wants us to live. So anyway, we know all about how Paul expresses over and over again in these long run-on sentences, the plan, the purpose, the certainty, how He's going to bring together everything in Christ. He's done it all. It's His mercy. I mean, the love is the heart of it. He goes on and on and on. You just can't find enough words to say. And then he talks about the need for us to understand the power that it took for God to bring Christ out of the grave and set Him on a throne. No matter what other force or power there was, it was never great enough to stop Him from what He was going to do. But he said, that's not just for me to show off. That power is for you. See, there's a relevance. It's not just so we can sit back and say, wow, God, this is so that we can realize what He has done is for us. I thank God it's not against me. I thank God it's not a threat, you do this or else. This is God reaching out with all that I lack, in spite of all I lack, with all I need. That's the heart of what Paul is getting at, and how he's brought us out of living under a kingdom of darkness that has ruled in this world. Brought us out because of His love and His grace. I mean, we can go through all the things that we touched on Sunday. I don't want to go into that level of detail at this point, but Basically, what he's describing is an eternal purpose of God. And he lays it out in great language that just should is meant to encourage the saints to constantly look to him and understand he's the one at work here. I'm resting upon him. And then, of course, he goes into chapters 4 through 6, as he does in most of his letters, and he begins to tell us our part. I mean, you could almost read the early parts of what he says and get the idea that, oh, great, he's just going to do it all. All I have to do is just sort of believe him in some vague sense, and he's going to take care of it. There's really nothing left for me to do. And, of course, we know that's not the case, because he wants us to grow up to be his sons and his daughters, not his robots. He's not manufacturing followers here. He is raising sons and daughters who are powered by his own life on the inside. But for us to be like him, we need to be in a context where it's a challenge to be like him. Because there's something that happens when you and I have to make choices in a world that is against us, in bodies that are against us, and we have to choose to serve God anyway. That does something to the new life that he's given us. It tends to grow and it gets stronger, doesn't it? And boy, that's what we need, isn't it? So anyway, he goes through all of the callings and all of the things that he desires of us. I think I'm going to do this a little differently today than I did on Sunday, because I kind of, gave you the Cliff Notes version of the last part too. I want to get to that, but I want to go back to what we said on Sunday. Because the focus of what the Lord had put on my mind at that time was all that he's able to do. Now, verse 20 of chapter 3, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, and then to him be glory, and so forth. And the focus that I had was, we just can't imagine the things that he's going to do. They're just beyond our reckoning, beyond our thinking. And how often is that the problem? We just can't imagine it. And so, well, that just couldn't be. That's not me. That's not about me. That's good for somebody else, some other place, some other time. But, when it really comes down to all of this, we can acknowledge, yeah, that's kind of what he wants me to be, but it ain't happening, if we're really honest. Because we just can't imagine being different than we are. We tend to be formed by our life experiences, our personalities, everything that goes into just growing up in this world. It tends to rule over our minds. Why do you think Paul talked about our presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice and then being transformed by the renewing of our minds? I need a divine operation up here, and I need to let him do it. I need to be willing to agree with him when he doesn't agree with me. Anybody have a problem with that? He puts his finger on something, and you say, well, wait a minute, that can't be God. Or whatever it is. But God is going to change our thinking, our outlook, everything. He's got to. Amen. Because if he doesn't, then we're just going to act like ordinary people. Our nature is going to simply rule, and that just can't be. So God has basically set this in front of us, and the thought that I had Sunday was, it's more than we can imagine. Well, that's true. But since then, I immediately went to the next thought. And it's one that I just can't get out of my head, so I'm going to go ahead and share it, and we'll see it. We'll just trust the Lord to bless it to everybody. He certainly blessed it to me. But he says, now to him who is able, I'm glad he's able, no lack on his ability, he is able to do immeasurably more. Paul's running out of ways to express it. All that we could possibly, more than we can ask or imagine. But now what? What's that based on? What's that based on? You see, according to means in agreement with or based on, founded upon this. Founded upon what? According to his power that is at work within us. That's the key. Folks, if you're his, if you have really repented and invited him into your life, it's not just the forgiveness of sins. He's come in to live. Because if I don't have a new life, if I've not been born of his spirit, then I'm just a religious person trying to be good. Good luck with that. That ain't happening. But I'll tell you, if we have a new life, that's him in us. Is not Christ in us the hope of glory? That's the hope that I can be a glorious being one day in spite of what I am, is because he's in there. It's not because of who I am and what I am. Okay? So, according to his power, aren't you glad it's his power? Anybody here got the power? You read the rest of this, can you live up to that? Can you walk in that and truly be all that he says? See, that's what Paul's setting up here. Because he's going to tell us all kinds of things that are totally impossible for any one of us here. I don't care who you are. It's impossible to live up to what he's talking about here without what Paul's talking about to set it up. You get that? No sense reading chapter 4 and what goes beyond that. Because it's just a bunch of words. But I need something that I don't have in myself. That's what he's talking about. Okay, according to his power, that what? Is at work. Now, what verb tense? We talked about this many times. What verb tense is that? That's present tense. Now, the simple present tense in Greek is a continuous tense. It's not just, okay, something happened and then it's over. This is God absolutely at work. That means he, all the time he's working. There's something going on the inside. God is at work. Did he not say that he's going to continue the work in us when? Till the day of Jesus Christ. So when Christ comes in to live, something happens. He's not just sitting there waiting for us to do something. He's working. God's still working. I think of the old song we used to hear from the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir from many years ago. God's still working. He's still, you know, and there's an old chorus. He's still working on me. I don't remember all the words, but anyway, you know, something like he took 6 days to make the, anyway. Oh, how patient he must be. He's still working on me. Well, I thank God for his patience. But this is the point. How does salvation, remember, salvation is not just the forgiveness of sins. We're not saved because Christ died. We're saved because he rose. Salvation starts with the forgiveness of sins. We're united with him. He comes in to live. Then salvation starts. Because I need the salvation from me, not just from stuff I've done. So that's when that starts. It's him living in me that constitutes salvation. And there is an ongoing work where he's constantly doing something, whether I'm paying attention or not. God's working. The thing is, we need to learn how to reckon on that and understand it in the daily stuff that happens in our lives, because God's ordering our steps. Is he not? Is he not? Excuse me. Someone get that frog out of there one of these days. But I'll tell you, God is so merciful and faithful. He knows what he's doing. He knows what to put in my path. And when I have to take that step, he's right there to help me face that, to help me move through it, to help me learn from it, to help me grow. And then there's another step, and there's another step, and we go on. And that's what life is. It's not some fancy experience you can get, and then boom, you're there. This is a walk of faith, step by step by step, pushing forward. But where does the power come from? It's according to his power that is, present tense, continually at work. Where? Out here telling me what to do? In here. And yes, he does tell me what to do. But it's always with the sense that this is the way I want you to go. You know, what is that prophecy in somewhere in the Old Testament? I don't remember exactly where it is. But God's people are spoken of as, you know, you'll hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. I wonder how many times we're faced with something, and our nature wants to do what it wants to do, and there's something on the inside that bears witness. This is what I'm looking for. This is what I want. This is what you should do. This is what's right in my eyes. Guess what we're faced with? It's called a choice. We can't say, oh, well, that's just the way I'm made. Yeah, that's what God's saving us from. He just saved me from all that I was born as in this world. But he is constantly at work. If we pay attention, So many times we just muddle along and do stuff and act and react, and God's still in there. He's working. He's trying to speak, and we're not listening some of the time. And we need to be listening, don't we? But you know, there's another problem, is that we face life without thinking about this. We might even know what we're supposed to do, but if we're not reckoning on what he's talking about here, what are we doing? Well, we're trying to do it ourselves. If we're doing it at all, we're trying, okay, I'm trying to be, oh, I can't be that, you know, oh, he understands. There are 1,001 thoughts that don't really ever get to the crux of the issue. We never get to what he really wants us to be. We sort of sidestep it and try and fall short and, oh, there we go again, I guess I'm stuck. You know, it just goes, it's an endless array of thoughts that are just basically unbelief. Because we are not looking at this through the right glasses. You know, I remember years ago I preached on a subject or taught on a subject, and I used sunglasses as an illustration. And a lot of sunglasses have a tint to them. And my point was, at the time, you know, if you look at the world through blue sunglasses, the world is blue. Everybody knows it's blue. There it is. It's blue. Well, why is it blue? It's blue because I'm looking at it through a certain lens that colors it, makes it appear to be blue, which it isn't really. But God wants us to look at the life to which he has called us through a certain lens. If we look at it any other way, we're going to stumble and not get very far, and we're going to constantly run up against issues and failures, and we're going to build up a litany of a, what's the word I want? Anyway, we're going to build up a habit. I can't even think of the word. Anyway, don't get old. But we're going to run up against a whole bunch of failures that are going to become a habit after a while. They're going to color our mind, and they're going to absolutely be the lens through which we are looking at everything. And the Lord wants to put a different kind of lens in front of our eyes. And I have noticed more than once, as I've thought about this since Sunday, there'll be some little issue come up that usually causes me a little bit of anxiety, maybe, or strife or something. Anxiety is one of the biggies. Because, oh God, I'm supposed to do this and I just can't, or don't really want to, or 1,001 problems. But I found myself saying, you know, God's power is at work in me. I can do that. What a radical thought. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Where in the world did that come from? Man, that's revelation. Well, I mean, here we are, way down the road in our Christian walk, and the Lord's still teaching us really baby steps sometimes. But isn't that a key? Isn't that something that's really critical? Wouldn't it be nice if every issue we faced, we saw it through this scripture right here? Yes, he tells me to do this in this situation, and my nature wants to do the other, but I can do that. Not because I'm strong and able, but his power is right there at work. It's going. I don't have to figure out where it comes from. It's not from way out there somewhere. It's right here. He's actually with me in this circumstance. He's the one who set it up in the first place. He put this circumstance in front of my feet so that I would have to take a step, and I'd have to believe in him, and I would experience something that I wouldn't experience any other way. Do you think it makes a difference when we actually face something that's challenging, that's adverse, and we experience his help and his faithfulness? That kind of does something positive for you, doesn't it? We grow, we learn, we get more and more confidence towards him, and we begin to get a little further down the road. I believe with all my heart, God wants to take us to places we've never imagined. That is part of it, our inability to imagine. But I know how to get there now. Now, God's going to have to help me to get my focus back on this, because there are so many issues that I'm going to face, that my habit is to do the wrong thing, to be anxious or to be something other than what he simply says in here. or to face it but not be thankful about it. When he tells me specifically to be thankful for everything, boy, it got quiet. Yeah, I don't care what you what you look at from chapters 4 through 6 and anywhere else in the scriptures. If we don't get this, the rest of it is just words. It's just religion. I mean, look where he starts. As a prisoner for the Lord, chapter 4, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. This is God's calling, planned before the foundation of the world, able to take us all the way to the end, and he wants us to live a life that is in harmony with what he has done for us and set up and what he set in motion. Okay? What does that mean? Be completely humble. He starts right off with a simple one, right? Completely humble. Oh, boy. There's 1,001 ways in which we are not completely humble. And our nature is just going to point the finger at somebody else, react this way, react that way. And God's going to put those things in front of you because he knows there's a need. Don't you go blaming so-and-so. You look to God and say, God, you, thank you for putting them in my path. I realize that's still wanting to rise up, and if I don't pay attention, it's going to control me. My action, my attitudes, my reactions, they ain't coming from you. And I need help. But oh yeah, I just remembered. Your power is in here working. So I have the choice now that I didn't have before I came to you. I was stuck. I mean, before I came to you, I didn't even know what was right, let alone want to do it. And I was stuck serving this old nature. But now I'm brought out. I have a different life in here, and I now have a choice. And Lord, you want me to make that choice so I can be a different person. See, there's a responsibility that he places upon us, and he wants us to be participate in what he's doing. So if God puts something in front of you where it's not your nature to be humble, first thing is thank him. Yeah? See, just the reaction that we have tells you where we're at, doesn't it? Simple little thing. This is just the start. Folks, I haven't even gotten into the rest of it. But you see what the issue is? I need power. We talk about power like it's some vague thing that makes me able to do miracles. That all has a place if that's what God wants to do in a given situation. But I'll tell you where the power needs to happen. It needs to happen in here to change me. It's not me commanding stones to be made bread or whatever. I mean, God can do anything once he gets a hold of me and a hold of us. We're the ones who are in the way, and God's trying to get us out of the way so that he can flow and live through us. I mean, what did Paul say? The life I now live in the flesh, it's no longer I but Christ. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's got to be him and not me. Well, he puts choices in front of me all the time where my nature is going to go exactly opposite of what this says. But Paul says, be completely humble. Wow. And gentle? I know everybody hears you're gentle all the time, right? No issue. We can skip right over that one. Patient, especially in traffic, right? Patient. Putting up with one another and all of those things where we just, well, in fact, that's the next one, isn't it? Bearing with one another in love, putting up with each other. But they're wrong. I can see that they're wrong. This is what it says, and this is what they're doing. They're wrong. I got to fix that. I'm responsible. I can see it. I'm supposed to fix it. Better start by looking in the mirror. We're in no shape to help each other if we have that kind of a spirit. You might as well forget it. You're not helping. You're just creating strife. But God's going to put all of these things in your path and in mine until we learn to go back to that and say, yes, Satan, But his power is right now at work in me. I have every right to lean upon that and say, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Praise God. Praise God. You see how we've got to apply this to specifics. That's what the Lord kind of reminded me of through several things. Where I just bop along and my habit would be to think or react in a certain way. And I was able to stop and say, wait a minute. His power is at work in me. But what about the convention? Oh, God. Oh, it's coming. Oh, you know. Think of the responsibility. Think of all that. Wait a minute. His power is at work in me. What am I worried about? That's his job. My job is to look to him, trust in him, take the next step. Look to him for the strength to take that step and rest in him. It kind of sounds a lot like what Jesus said, learn from me, for I'm humble and gentle in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Oh, how hard we make the Christian life sometimes, all the time, just about, because we don't learn these simple things. I just pray that God will make this more real. But I mean, you can go all the way through this. I don't know how long to push this, but I mean, he goes on there and about making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, and then he lays out the reality of the oneness. He doesn't say to achieve the oneness. Jesus did that. If you and I have the same Spirit on the inside, we are one whether we act like it or not. Our job is to maintain that unity that he's already won at the cross. And that's where these interpersonal relationships come into play. That's where we need to act and react according to what he says and always say, wait a minute, his power is at work. I can do what he said to do. Not only can I choose to. I'm going to make the choice to be that kind of a person. I'm going to look at my own image in the mirror and say, Lord, help me. And help me, bring me to the place where when I look in the mirror, I'm seeing you and not me. Praise God. I mean, we sing the songs about what God is doing, and I believe there's a lot of people here that want this, that long for it. But what a secret this is to absolutely see this. I pray that God will just make it more real to me. I feel the need of it every single day. But I can sense this week something's different. Something's different. I'm not just talking about theology that I discovered here. This is testimony. I've had a little more rest. I've had a little more confidence. Trust me, it ain't in me. It's letting go. It's realizing he understands that I can't. That's the whole point. But he can. Praise God. And so then he goes on, as we know, into the gifts of the Spirit and the fact that God has given everybody an ability. And when everybody uses the ability that God has given, whatever that is, not trying to be something else that they're not, but using the ability that God has given, every member of the body contributes to the whole, and we all grow up to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So see what happens when we get to the point where we get past this early part where how do we relate to one another? We get all the barriers gone. Now, instead of living for self, we're able to actually live for him and say, God's given me ability to help you. And that's what it's about. Yes. It's not about me and how I feel and what I'm doing. It's about my ability to be a channel of God's life to somebody else. And boy, the more that happens, the more we grow. And I give something to you and you give something to me because I need you just as much as you need me. We need each other, don't we? So he goes through that whole subject there. We've looked at it many times. And then he gets down to the reality of personal life, that we don't live like the people of the world. May God help us not to be conformed to the way this world is, but to be transformed and to be different. We have a culture, if you haven't noticed, and I know you have, that is absolutely running as hard as it can away from God, rebelling in his face. We're not going to do what you say. God's going to help. God's going to have to give us courage with grace. Don't have to be hateful about it, but Lord, we need to be different. We don't need to live for the flesh or for self or any of these things. And he lists a lot of specifics here. that we don't necessarily need to go about or to go through, but I'll tell you, every one of us was born with a nature that's going to be guilty of some of this, one form or another. We can look at this sin or that one and say, well, that's terrible. Yeah, yours is just as bad, it's just different. And every one of us has areas where we need deliverance. We need help to overcome things that have been a part of our action, our attitudes, our thinking, and our deeds. All of our lives, that's the way we cultivated a way of thinking and living that comes from the old nature, comes straight out of Satan's heart. And many times we've gone a long ways and we're still struggling with that thing, still being overcome by it. You see, God wants us to recognize we have a new life if we've been born. And we have a God who is actively working. He's not just sitting there on the sidelines waiting to see how we do. He's talking. He's encouraging. He's whispering. Are we listening? Or are we just muddling through or striving and I've got to try harder. I've got to, all the ways that we go where we miss the simplicity of what he's talking about here. I believe I know I'm right because I'm just like you are. There are things that have beset us all of our lives that are just characteristic where we don't really measure up to what he says here. Anybody? Yeah, I see a lot of heads nodding. I don't believe you're bobbleheads. I believe you're telling the truth. We need the Lord, don't we? Now, how many of you think the Lord is aware of this? How many of you think that he's just mad at you? How many of you think that instead he's going to put you and me in circumstances where we're going to have to face this thing again and again and again until we face it the right way and realize, wait a minute, I don't have to do this. I don't have to be that way. There's a power in me that's not my power. He's there working, and I can lean on that. And with the strength of that, believing in what he has said and promised, I can make a different choice. And the more I learn to make that choice, the more that becomes the habit, that becomes the characteristic. So now I've told you what to expect, right? Isn't this exhilarating? All the things you're going to be facing and having to face again and again and again. But God wants to give us victory. He's not throwing us up against the enemy to defeat us. It's always to teach us the way to find victory. There's not a thing that he cannot overcome if we'll look to him and believe in his strength, because we don't have it, but he does. Thank God. So he goes through a whole lot of this talking about behavior. Verse 29, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs. It's not about you and me. It's about them. That it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Amen. Now, I remind you, he's talking to Christians here. So obviously, believers still have issues, don't we? We shouldn't be surprised, but that doesn't mean we just accept them and suppose that, oh, well, it's okay, God understands. He does understand the need, but he's also provided the solution that we need to grow into and start taking advantage of more and more, and he'll help us. Not something where you have to jump all the way over into Canaan tonight, but this is a way where we need to see how we get there, where we take that step. But we realize, oh yes, his power is at work in me. Yes, this is difficult, but his power is at work in me. I can do this. Every step has to be seen through that lens. Praise God. And of course, he does go on into various other, I won't go through all of it. You can read this, but be filled with the Spirit. And then the husband and wife part that we talked about briefly on Sunday, And all, some of it was read earlier, and all the wonderful things that Christ has done, but learning how to relate to one another, even in family life, to take the roles that God has given us. Realize we can do that, not because of our human personality or background or any or makeup, but because He lives in us. It's His design to start with. He's going to help us live it out, and we're going to see the fruit of that as we go forward. And he goes on down, and then interesting how this power, this word power comes up. I didn't go back to one thing that I mentioned it earlier, but I had thought when I mentioned this, according to his power that is at work within us, how much power is that? Yeah, all power in heaven and earth. But think about what he has already said. We briefly referred to it in chapter 1. Paul says, I want you to understand the power that raised him up from the dead and set him on the throne is God's power for you. That's the same power that he's talking about in chapter 3. The power that set him on a throne is in here. God, wake us up to realize the treasure that we have. Now, Paul says, we got this treasure in earthen vessels, but we got a treasure. Let's focus on the treasure, not the vessel. Praise God. But now he comes to another subject that we have often used, and I won't go through the details, but it's interesting how power comes in, because here we are. He's talked in chapter 2 about how God's called us out of a world that is under the dominion of wicked spirits. That's the order of this world. You can look at the personalities and all of that. Behind all of that is a kingdom of invisible spirits that rule and reign. And they're absolutely at war with God. And so Paul says, finally, be strong. Boy, aren't you glad he doesn't stop there? Be strong in the Lord. And in what? His mighty power. Boy, Paul understood that if I'm going to talk about fighting the kingdom of darkness, we better remind everybody that we got the power. You know, we got that old song that we sang with the ensemble. We're working again a little bit, so pray for us. As long as we can get back up on the stage, we're all right. We have to work at it, but praise God. But we've got the power. That's what God wants us to understand. We are not helpless. Dealing with our nature, with other things, or with our reaction to other things, because that's really about us, not the thing. Remember? Boy, we need to get that. Stop trying to straighten everything out. And just reacting to the world and the way it's going, we know how it's going. But God's active, God's alive. He is calling out His people. He's preparing us. He's promised it. He set it in motion when Jesus cried, "It's finished." It was finished. The rest is just working it out. It is as sure as if it has been done. But in the meantime, we are going to go up against principalities and powers, aren't we? So that's why he says, finally be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. And then put on the full armor. That's been talked about many, many times. But thank God we have everything that we need in Christ. Thank the Lord. Praise God. And he goes on, he talks about prayer and how we need to pray. And the Lord will strengthen us. It says, pray in the Spirit. See, even my prayer, I don't have to sit there and try to come up with something. I can remind myself, oh yes, his power is present. His power. So when I pray, I can remind him of that. You know, I appreciate that prayer initiative. I think I mentioned this Sunday. Because it was all about Scripture. I mean, we had prayer points on it, but there was Scripture after Scripture after Scripture. And boy, we need to be reveling in those Scriptures and praying them back to God and reminding Him. It's not like He needs to be reminded, but He wants to know that we get it, and that's what we want. And I'll tell you, we need to get to a point with many of these things where we're like Jacob. I think I said this Sunday. We will not let you go until you bless. Lord, this is what you have promised. It's not trying to be an apostle or trying to be something. It's, Lord, you promised me victory. And I'm going to take the next step and I'm going to trust you. And even if it takes time for things to happen, Lord, I'm not letting you go because it's what you promised. And it's not based upon anything else except your power that is present tense at work in me. Anybody want to put those glasses on? Say, Lord, help me to see everything through your eyes. Help me to get this. Tomorrow when I wake up and something wants to rise up and react in a way that just isn't like what he's talking about in here, I need to say, wait a minute. I actually have a choice here. I don't have to be like the person that I've been. I got somebody who's living in me who's probably talking to me about this. He's been trying to get my attention, trying to wake me up instead of just letting me muddle through and keep failing in the same way. He's been trying to bring me there and then talk to me, and I just haven't been really listening like I should. But now I'm going to start listening, and I'm going to believe that what he says is actually true, and I can actually live that out. What a thought. May God help us. I just appreciate so much the Lord talking to me about this, because I'm in as much need as anybody here. I'm made of the same stuff. Just because I'm up here doesn't mean I'm some spiritual giant. I've got battles of my own. I've got characteristics that the Lord's working on. But that's the way it is. We're all in the journey. None of us. We're all works in progress. There's no point in being down about that. We are where we are. We are what we are. All right, praise God. God knows that. But he also knows how to take me forward if I'm just willing and I understand. That's why Paul was praying so much that the believers would just understand this. Oh, I pray that God will give you understanding. Because if we understand what he's done and how he operates, then we can do what he says. That's the only way I know for it to work. Anybody got a better way? Praise God. Well, I don't know that it's necessary to carry this on. I don't know what else the Lord may have, but praise God, I'm ready to listen too. So the Lord is so good to us. May God help us to get this. It's such a simple thing, isn't it? And I'll bet you half of us will wake up in the morning and start in and, whoa, wait a minute. Now I know what that was about. Here we go again. And the Lord's going to bring me face to face with myself. This is the guy that needs the help. If he can ever get a hold of me, then he can possibly even work through me a little bit and help you. So praise God. God's taken it. God's going to take us all the way. We don't have to worry about that. But he does want us to understand and grow and be willing and know that he's going to take us all the way. Thank God. There's a rest in that, isn't there? There's a striving, there's a reaching that Paul talks about, there's a fight of the faith, but yet in all of that, there still is a rest, because I'm not resting upon my ability or anything in me. I'm always going back to the source, and the source is him, and he is faithful. Praise God.
Had a scripture come to me. Turn over to 2 Corinthians 1, just to confirm what Phil said there. And, you know, I think the greatest need we have is, and I think Steve and I was talking about this before the service started, the greatest need we have is to learn to have an ear. I'm not talking about this ear. I'm talking about the ear of our heart, to be sensitive to the Spirit speaking to us. Because I'm not saying that we are, but I'm just saying if we're so quick to let our flesh rise up and let it do its thing, then you're not going to hear the Lord. Because the Lord is always there ahead of time. And that's part of the choice problem we have. And so we need to learn to have our ear to our Father and to our Lord Jesus Christ. And I will say this. It's not about works, but I will say this. It'd be good for you to learn, especially if you're young, to learn to get into his word. Learn to learn about him. How he speaks. This book is filled with men and women just like you and I. And they got, there's even examples, I'm fixing to read one here, to where they were trusting in their own self. And the Lord caused something to happen to where they got overwhelmed. Here, I'll read it. I'm getting ahead of myself here. This is in 2 Corinthians 1. And I'll be real brief here. I just want to confirm what Phil's saying. But I do want to emphasize the fact that we need to have a tender heart toward the Lord. He's speaking to us. And whether or not we can hear that and it become a part of our life, is we got to surrender. Is that not right? This is an applicable part in what we have to do. He's not, like Phil said, he's not going to make a bunch of robots. He's going to speak with a small, still voice. And we need to have ears that can hear it. And then when we can hear it, here's another scripture comes to my mind. Over in James, this is a very familiar, this is not nothing new. We can do, you know that God has given us through his word to have discernment? Do you know that? Now, whether we use that or not, that's the problem. Is if but he said this, he said, wisdom from above is what? Let me go opposite of that before I continue that. So if we have a thought that comes to us, and I'm just saying give an example of what he said there about having anger and bitterness and all that. If we have a thought that comes to us about someone, and listen, it ain't about us looking in the mirror, it's going to be about somebody else. Even though the problem is in us. The problem is, listen, Jesus walked this earth. And they accused him, they beat him, and he never offered up a defense. Now, that's the example I want to follow. He never offered up a defense. He took the punishment that they wanted to lay on him because he knew the purpose, but he never offered up to try to fight back or anything else. Wouldn't it be good for us to learn to not to fight back? When opposition comes our way, let's take that thought. The word says that we can bring these thoughts into captivity. How do we do it? By the Spirit of Christ in us. That's how we do everything. John 15, we've heard this scripture many a time. Jesus said that the Father was the husbandman. He was the vine. And we are the branches. If we're connected with the vine, we can draw what we need. So let me read this here. This is in 2 Corinthians 1. He says, I'm going to begin in verse 8. He says, we thought you ought to know, dear brothers and sisters, about the trouble we went through in the province of Asia. I wish that we could do it an easy way. But I'm afraid that we're so hard-headed. And you notice I said we. We're so hard-headed that he has to get us in a place to where we can't move. He said, about the trouble we went through in the province of Asia, says we were crushed and overwhelmed beyond our ability. Guess what? That's what he's trying to teach us, that we ain't got no ability. Said they were overwhelmed beyond our ability to endure, and we thought we would never live through it. In fact, we expected to die. That's how far the Lord may have to take us to get us to where we can learn to hear his voice. And if that's the case, guess what? Listen to what it look at what it did to Paul. But as a result, we stopped relying on ourselves and learned to rely only on God. That's what we need to do. There's a choice that we make. And then he comes on down and he says, and he did rescue, but as a result, we stopped relying on ourselves and learned to rely only on God who raises the dead. He learned a secret through all that terrible situation he was in. He learned, hey, the Lord was saying, I'm available. I'm available. I got all the power you need. Do you want me to help you? I mean, that's the way he was saying. And then he comes on down in verse 12, and he says, we can say with a confidence and a clear conscience that we have lived with a God-given holiness and sincerity in our dealings. We have depended on God's grace, not on our own human wisdom. Beloved, we have truth works But the Lord wants to work. Listen, when Jesus came and he walked this earth, did he want to go out and do his own thing? What did he even say? He said, I didn't come to do my will, but I came to do the Father's will. Do you know that we are doing the same thing? We don't want to, as we live these lives that he's given us, we don't want to live them just for our own selfish nature. That's what the world's doing. What we need to do is we need to learn to be led by his Spirit. And if we will walk, listen, I'm telling you, this is a great secret. I wish I would do it more. But I will tell you one thing that I have learned. If we learn to be led by his Spirit in everything, every aspect of our life, I can tell you one thing, you will be a blessed person. And you will keep yourself from suffering a lot of heartache because of our own stubbornness. I appreciate this word tonight. I don't want to take anything away. I just want to add a little bit there. Let's get sensitive to the Lord speaking, because he's speaking. Amen. And he wants to help us.
I hated to get up after all that, but I'm sitting there arguing with myself. So I'm going to read this song that came to me while my Phil was up here. It says a lot of, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. But I believe when the man was writing it, he meant through God's power. And that's what we've been talking about. So here goes. It's called Take It All Back. Fear's got me living with the lights out, chained down like a prisoner in my own house. Shame cycles like a daily medication. I try, but I can't change my situation. Because the liar comes to rob my joy. Yeah, I'm bruised, but I'm not destroyed. I'm rising like an army, and you're going to hear the sound. I'm calling the angels down. I'm storming the gates of hell. Tell the devil he don't own my soul. I'm taking back what the enemy stole. I'm raising the battle cry. I'm holding the banner high. With the power of the Holy Ghost, I'm taking back what the enemy stole. Take it all back. I'm taking back what the enemy stole. We're done with all the mind games you try to play. If it ain't clear yet, I want everything you took from me. In the name of the one who is peace, the one who heals all disease, the only reason that I am free, that name is Jesus. Lord of lords and King of kings, Jesus, the name that makes the demons flee. I want all to know I'm taking it back now. Yeah, you know it's going down when you hear the sound. I'm calling the angels down. I'm storming the gates of hell. Tell the devil he don't own my soul. I'm taking back what the enemy stole. And that's...
Praise God. I appreciate this word tonight. If it hasn't been for anybody, which I know it's for everybody, it has been specifically for me. And just some things I've been going through the last month or two, just things I've been facing internally, mentally. But I thank God for this word today, because I believe it's a key for us to live what Brother Phil has been talking about, a victorious life in Christ, to where he can live through us. I thought about this while Brother Phil was up here. I'm the last person that needs to be up here. But if you would turn to Deuteronomy 8, this came to me. And I'm just going to read this. And one other scripture. It says, be careful to follow every command I am giving you today. And that command he's given us today is to trust in his word, to trust in what he said, to trust in the power that is working through us and in us. He says, so that you may live and increase. That really stuck out to me, because he wants us to grow. And this he was talking about, instead of them increasing in number, but man, he wants us to increase in him. And it says right here, that you may enter and possess the land that the Lord promised on oath to your forefathers. Remember how the Lord God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years. I think I remember reading somewhere a 2-week journey, but it ended up taking 40 years. And he's going to tell us why, because I tell you what, this is a reflection of why the things are going on in our life. He says to humble you and to test you in order to know what is in your heart. I tell you what, God knows what's in our heart. We're the ones that live with blinders on, but praise God, he's taking the blinders off. To test you in order to know what's in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you. Anybody need some humbling? I ain't got enough hands to throw up. We are proud people. We are proud. But God knows that. Is he patient with us? Praise the Lord for that. He humbled you, causing you to hunger. I tell you what, have you been going through some things? You're not able to see the light at the end of the tunnel. You know what it starts to do? It starts to make you hungry for God. It makes you start crying out. If he just takes that mountain out of your way, guess what's going to happen? You're just going to keep on going like nothing's wrong. But I tell you what, if he leaves that mountain there, that thing, all of a sudden, if you are his, you're going to start crying out. You're going to start saying, God, I need you. And I tell you what, that's a good thing, because that's when he shows up. He said, draw nigh to me, and I will draw nigh to you. He said, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you that man does not live by bread alone, but on every word. That's what Brother Tony was talking about. That word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. That's what we need to hear. Praise God. I appreciate that. I got one more scripture here. This is in 2 Corinthians 4. I don't think I'm going to read the whole thing. We don't preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ is Lord and us as his servants. Let's get down here to verse 7. We have this treasure in jars of clay. There's some ugly jars sometimes. But it is to show that this all-surpassing power, there's one of the words that Brother Paul, he's running out of words here, but he says, all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. I tell you what, these are things that our flesh face, and Jesus knew that when he walked here. Praise God. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may be revealed in our body. Is that not what we're here for? For we who are alive are always bent. This is one of them things where you're going, I may not like this. For we are who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake. What other sake is there? It is for his sake. Praise God. All that he suffered for us, so that this life may be, that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. Praise God. Thank God.